Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
This is Terry Hanratty, quarterback from the Super Bowl champion Pittsburgh Steelers and also quarterback for the University of Notre Dame Fighting Irish. You are listening to the Total Sports Recall Podcast, a part of the Sports History Network. Now here's your host, Harv Aronson.
You are listening to the Total Sports Recall Podcast, where you get sports from a different angle with a Pittsburgh twist. Welcome to Total Sports Recall. I am your host, Harv Aronson. This is a special edition episode where I will bring you audio from 15 of the greatest moments in Pittsburgh sports history. I give you these clips in no particular order, so if you hail from Pittsburgh, many of you may recall these moments. Some of you may have been there to witness these events. So sit back, take a listen, and enjoy, and be proud as a Pittsburgh sports fan. What better way to begin than with one of the greatest plays in NFL history, the Immaculate Reception. Franco Harris made his improbable catch on December 23rd, 1972.
Last chance for the Steelers. Bradshaw trying to get away. And his pass is broken up by Tatum. Tipped off. On this one.
Watch this, Ricochet out there off of Jack Tatum and into the man of the year, Franco Harris's hands.
When you talk about Christmas miracles, here's the miracle of all miracles. Watch this one now. Bradshaw's lucky to even get rid of the ball. He shoots it out. Jack Tatum deflects it right into the hands of Harris. And he sets off, and the big 230-pound rookie slipped away from Warren and scored.
The Pittsburgh Pirates won the World Series in 1925 and then not again until 1960. They beat the mighty New York Yankees in dramatic fashion, a walk-off home run by Bill Mazeroski. The date was October 13th, 1960, and it took place at the old Forbes Field in Pittsburgh.
With two runs on three hits, no errors and a man left, and the score at the end of 8 1/2 innings of play, it's the New York Yankees 9 and the Pittsburgh Pirates 9. And Ralph Terry, of course, on the mound will be facing Mazeroski. And to go over that, once again, it was a hard hit drive down the first base side. The Nelson fielded on the first hop and tagged the bag at first. That eliminated Berry. He was out. And then Mantle could have been in a rundown, but it was not the case. He dove back safely to first base. Here's a ball one, too high down to Mazeroski. And the Yankees have tied the game.
The Pittsburgh Penguins entered the National Hockey League in 1967 wearing blue and white jerseys, and it wasn't until the 1990-91 season when they won their first Stanley Cup.
Even shoots it back to center with 5-4-3. Time runs out. The Stanley Cup has come to the city of Pittsburgh. The 1991 Stanley Cup champions, the Pittsburgh Penguins.
With their first NHL title in the books, the Pens repeated in the 1991-92 season.
Gripson now near side. Shooter back to the net. Stop. Rebound in front. Score! The Hawks get a goal. They make it 6-5. Right up the play in Goulet right in front. 5 seconds to go. Loose around to the far corner. 2 seconds. The Penguins are going to win the Stanley Cup, I believe. Stelios shoots it blocked. The Penguins have won the Stanley Cup. Oh, Lord Stanley. Lord Stanley, get me the brandy. This is absolutely a great thrill. It really is. No matter if it happens once, twice, three, four, five times. Look at Scotty Bowman with a big smile, giving a great big hug to Rick Tocchet right now. And there goes Lemieux.
The University of Pittsburgh Panthers have a number of football national titles to their credit, but it has been not 47 years since their last. 1976, led by hometown hero Tony Torzett, Pitt beat Georgia in the Sugar Bowl for the national title.
Game as Pittsburgh owns it just inside the Georgia 20. First down.
Well, you know, Vince Dooley is disappointed, but I'll tell you this, 10-2 is a heck of a year, and the Bulldogs played extremely well during the entire 1976 year.
As Tom Husick turns it upfield, goes to about the 15, and we're told that the press people have voted Matt Cavanaugh the most valuable player of the ball game. The executive producer of this 43rd annual Sugar Bowl game, Rune Arledge, coverage of today's game produced by Chuck Howard, directed by Andy Sedaris, our technical director, John Allen, Jerry Klein, research and spotter, Jimmy Ritz, our statistician. It's Husick trying to get in with 13, now 12, and headed for 10 seconds to play. He gets the first down, and that stops the clock with 12 seconds. And look at the Pittsburgh sideline. There. 8 yard line. Johnny Majors already up on the shoulders of his team. 4-3-2-1. The game is over. And Johnny Majors gets a ride across the field as the Pittsburgh Panthers defeat the Georgia Bulldogs 27-3, a dominating performance. And I, for one, would certainly not quibble with anyone who says they are the National Collegiate Champions, because they won them all.
One of the most respected and idolized athletes in Pittsburgh sports history also had a tragic end. The great Roberto Clemente had his final hit in 1972, and it was his 3,000th.
Matlack on the 0-1. Bobby hits a drive into the gap in the left center field. There she is. Full of double. Papers flying, everybody standing. A double for Roberto.
On the first day of the NFL draft, April 20th, 1996, the Pittsburgh Steelers made perhaps the greatest trade in their history. They obtained Jerome the Bus Bettis from the Rams, and Bettis reflects on that.
Obviously, the Steelers made a big trade with Minkah Fitzpatrick, right? And we were thinking how you were a guy who came over through trade as well, man. So just talk about the process, man, from a mental standpoint. What is that like for you when you get that trade, when you get that call? And now you're part of a new organization.
Obviously I was in a similar situation as Minkah in the sense that he came from a franchise that wasn't winning, hadn't won in years. And so for me, same thing. I was coming from a Los Angeles Rams team that hadn't won in a lot of years. And then I'm going to now a perennial playoff team.
Absolutely.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers, a franchise that's, history is, great players. And so I just was I was, first of all, shocked that it happened and surprised, but I was so happy that I was going to get an opportunity, one, to have a chance to play in the playoffs and have some success, but absolutely, two, ultimately have a chance to win a championship.
Yeah.
And you know, as a football player, that's your ultimate goal.
The great boxer Billy Kahn was born in Pittsburgh and passed away in his home city, but on June 18, 1941, he nearly shocked the world by taking the great Joe Louis into the 13th round, leading all the way, only to get knocked out.
Presenting the present world's heavyweight king from Detroit, Michigan, weighing 199 and a half, he's wearing black trunks, Joe Louis. Pennsylvania, weighing 174, wearing purple trunks. The very capable challenger, Billy Kahn.
For over 40 years since entering the NFL in 1933, the Pittsburgh Steelers had never won a league title. That was until January 12, 1975, when they defeated the Minnesota Vikings in Super Bowl IX.
Up goes Harris, Joe Green, Pittsburgh, the Super Bowl champ. Chuck Knowles up there. Pittsburgh wins it 16-6. Chuck Knowles being carried off. They were about the worst team in pro football when he took over. They rebuilt by the draft, not by trading. They made every number one and two pick count. They're still a very young team. I would say their best years are ahead of them. A team that may not have even reached its peak, that just started to come into its own in the last 6 weeks of this season. And the future opponents are going to have some trouble. To the Vikings, another bitter loss for them, but their organization has been here three times now.
One of my personal favorite Pittsburgh Pirates teams is the 1971 squad. 11 years after Mazeroski's walk-off home run, Roberto Clemente and Steve Blass led the Bucks to triumph over the Baltimore Orioles.
There's a drive up the middle. Hernandez in back of the bag. He's got him, Jackie Hernandez. Look at Blass. Blass has pitched the Pirates to the World Championship.
While not a true sport, professional wrestling has made its historic mark in Pittsburgh solely by one man, Bruno Sammartino. Bruno defeated Buddy Rogers in 58 seconds on May 17, 1963, to become the world champion for the very first time.
May 17, 1963, World Championship Wrestling. Bruno Sammartino challenging the champion, Buddy Rogers. Sammartino attacking from the opening bell. He's got Rogers in the air. Rogers in tremendous pain. Sammartino with a crushing bear hug. Now Sammartino rolling Rogers over his shoulder. He's got him in the backbreaker. Buddy Rogers is totally helpless, and it's all over. Sammartino wins in 55 seconds, a stunning defeat for Buddy Rogers, and Bruno Sammartino is the new world champion of wrestling.
The city of Pittsburgh does not have an NBA team, but back in 1967, the American Basketball Association came into place, and the Pittsburgh Pipers, led by their great Connie Hawkins, took the very first league title.
This was the deciding game of the ABA championship. It was a game the Pipers couldn't lose, a game they wouldn't lose. This is Heyman on a fast break. In the end, it was the Pittsburgh speed that won it. Charlie Williams leading all scorers with 35 points. Hawkins finishing with 20. Doug Moe, while playing a great game against Hawkins, finished with 28. Final score, the seventh and deciding game of the ABA championship, Pittsburgh 122, New Orleans 113.
Dave Parker was a great right fielder for the Pittsburgh Pirates and thought to be Roberto Clemente's successor. He made one historic throw in the All-Star game. Parker threw out Brian Downing at the plate on July 17th, 1979.
Better, and baseball fans glad of it.
Line drive, right field. We may have a play at the plate. Big hop. Here comes Downing. Here's the throw. It is. He knocked him off the plate. What a tag by Carter. A tremendous play by Carter. Oh, baby, what a play.
And what a throw by Dave Parker, who continues to show why some people consider him the greatest player in the game. One big hop. Watch it. Great play by Carter, as you said, Joe. A strong throw. Downing tries to slide inside, away from the ball. Carter blocks him off.
He knocked him right off the plate, never did let him in. How Carter was able to catch that ball. Now, he cuts loose with the ball, but now watch Carter knock the runner off the plate. Right there, he pushes him off, almost gets in there. Look at his hand. Tremendous work by our crew. And Carter comes up with the ball, and he had a good ball to handle, Tony.
Oh, I'll tell you, all the way on the fly, no hitting a cutoff man in this situation, no slowing the ball down on hitting on the artificial surf or anything else. He threw it all the way on the fly.
After winning their first Stanley Cup in 1991, the Pittsburgh Penguins did it again in 1992.
Go-ahead goal here in this hockey game in the third period by Larry Murphy. Here's Francis back now with McEachran 2-on-1. Francis comes in, shoots, and scores! Ronnie Francis beats goaltender Hasek like a rented mule. He looked off and beat him on the short side, I believe. And the Penguins now lead 6-4.
Well, Paul, I'll tell you, you learn from experience, and certainly he has enough of that. And here's Gribson now near side. Shooter back to that stop. Rebound in front. Score! The Hawks get a goal. They make it 6-5.
Right up the play, and Goulet right in front. 5 seconds to go. Loose around to the far corner. 2 seconds. The Penguins are going to win the Stanley Cup, I believe. Stelio shoots it blocked. The Penguins have won the Stanley Cup. Oh, Lord Stanley, Lord Stanley, get me the brandy. This is absolutely a great thrill. It really is, no matter if it happens once, twice, three, four, five times. Look at Scotty Bowman with a big smile, giving a great big hug to Rick Tocchet right now. And there goes Lemieux.
8 years after defeating the Baltimore Orioles in the World Series with their 4-20-game winners, the Bucks and the Orioles met again in 1975 for Major League Baseball's title. The Orioles had a 3-1 games lead, but led by Willie Pops Stargell and his We Are Family squad, the Buccos fought back and won the World Series title.
But maybe Pittsburgh had the pitching edge.
Kelly hits it in the air to center field. Moreno going toward right center, makes the catch. Pittsburgh wins it.
And so this team, with its remarkable comeback capacity throughout the entire regular season, proved itself all over again, beating the Reds in the National League Championship Playoff Series, and then coming from a 3-1 deficit, and there is Willie Stargell.
MVP.
That's right. Just named the most valuable player. It's as it should be. He's the spirit, the soul of the club. He's become one of the most important figures in the entire Steel City community. And there is the other. The man, the Reed, who looks like a Stanford College philosophy professor. University, I should have said. And the fans from Pittsburgh are out there jumping. And indeed, the Bucks have gone all the way.
So there you have it. 15 of the greatest sports moments in Pittsburgh sports history. All comments are welcome, and you can send them to totalsportsrecall@gmail.com. If I left out any great moments, feel free to share them with me using that same email address, totalsportsrecall@gmail.com, or hit me up on Twitter using my handle, @TSRHarv59. Until next weekend, this is Harv Aronson wishing everyone a wonderful week ahead.
The contents of this podcast do not represent the opinions of others and are solely the opinions of Harv Aronson based on his experience, knowledge, and research.
This program is being brought to you by NestEgg's 401k. The landscape for retirement has changed dramatically in the past decade. Now more than ever, business owners are looking for a 401k provider who can protect them from risk and make their company 401k easy to operate. Employees are looking for help with their personal finances from people they can trust, fiduciaries who don't sell products and don't get paid commissions. NestEgg's 401k can help. If you own a business and would like a review of your company 401k plan,
or if you are an individual with greater than $500,000 in investable assets, NestEx would be happy to conduct a fiduciary review of your circumstances and provide you advice at no cost. Call NestEx today at 866-202-4646.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, aka the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.